not leaving to go anywhere tonight, so don't think I'm trying to get out of here quick or anything like that. I'm not leaving until the morning. So the preacher's not trying to go out on vacation. Amen. For anybody starts thinking that, not doing that. We're leaving tomorrow. And just going to go ahead and bring the message tonight. Lord, I believe you just give me a scripture and begin to study on this afternoon. And if I make a mess of things, it's me and not him. Just caught my eye and I begin to just study and just stay with it. And it's a very simple thought. And when you get over it, you'll say, well, I knew that already probably, but just want to look at this scripture tonight. If we'll all stand, reverence to the Word of God. And before I read the scripture here, I want to read one passage in Ephesians. And Brother Ty, I've talked to you a lot about this lately when we've been studying on the cults. I've quoted this verse probably a couple times with Brother Ty as we dealt with dealing with the cults. I tell you, if you get to reading this stuff and find out what they're doing, it gets very frustrating very quickly to realize that millions of people have been duped into thinking that they've got the right way and it's not the way. And there ain't but one way. I had a fellow at work one time tell me, he says, "Well, you believe that a Jew's got to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Well, I don't agree with that." And I said, "Well, that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Amen. I said, "Now, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to say that's what it is." Amen. And he didn't argue with me no more because there wasn't nothing to argue about. Amen. We're not here. I don't have to argue with the Scripture. Scripture stands by itself. If I was completely wrong, it'd still be right. And it is right. But Ephesians chapter 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. Tonight I want to be preaching on that evil is the enemy. Evil is the enemy. And by the time I'm not preaching this for the benefit of us, but we need it, amen, as we deal with this. But not only that, I want to be preaching on just from the aspect that we need a fresh understanding of how that the enemy is evil. Evil is the enemy. And I want to give you some things that I found and very simple things. I don't think that I'll wow you. You'll say, "Man, I've never heard that before." But just give you some facts tonight out of Scripture and over here in Matthew chapter number 8. Let's look at it with me. Verse number 28, if you will, read it with me. Just read down here these few verses. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, "When you come to the other side into the country of the Gergesians, there met him two possessed of the devils coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" That's Matthew chapter number 20, chapter 8, verse number 28, verse number 29. Look at verse number 30 now. The Bible says, "And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Tony tonight to lead some prayer. Please pray for me, Brother Tony. Now, you do realize tonight when I say evil, I do mean that everything that is evil in this world and the world underneath us, amen, is of the devil. Amen. And he is the enemy and he is the evil one. Amen. And so we want to look at that tonight. And we know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Our battles in this life is not with an individual per se, as far as a person in this life, but our battles against the very devil himself. And the evil that he has put out into this world. Amen. I'm not going to teach on the cults tonight, not plan on that or preaching on the cults tonight. But I just want to look at these verses here in verse number 28 through verse number 33-34 on some very basic facts about evil and how that evil is the enemy that we're up against. Look at it with me now in verse number 28. Very simply, the Bible says, And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesians, there met him two possessed with devils. Now, notice that what had happened was that Jesus had just crossed the crossed over, and they'd gone through a very, very terrible storm. The storm had come that way, hit their boat and slashed against their boat. And the disciples come down to the boat. He was asleep, and they said, "Lord, save us." And, of course, he says that famous quote, "Why are you fearful, O you little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds. And the Bible says, "And the sea, and there was much calm." And the men marveled that he did that, Brother Freeman. He just brought them through a great storm. And here's one thing I found out in my life, that the devil's greatest attack is right after a storm or a battle or a weariness in my life. After I've had something like that, that I've gone through, a lot of times our mind is weary, our body's weak, and then the devil begin to meet us and fight us right after that. Do you ever notice that? Am I the only one that's ever gone through that? I've noticed that the devil, he wants to attack us like a roaring lion. He wants to get the weak at the back end of the group. Amen? That's when he wants to attack. And so there's no reason that he wouldn't try the same thing. We know his ways. And so look at it with me tonight, and again in verse number 28. Notice number one, we have evil is the enemy of latitude. Evil is the enemy of latitude. Whatever we want to go, in the direction we want to go, upward, and moving in the way of God, evil is the enemy of latitude. The Bible says here, look at verse 28. He says, "And when he was come to the other side of the country of Gergesians, there met him." Now notice this. He comes to the other side, and they just stilled the storm, and he steps off the boat, and the first thing that meets him is evil. Evil meets him. And notice that even the direction of God, going in the direction of God, doing the right thing, that Christ himself is met head on with evil. Amen. And so there is evil in the latitude of direction he's going, that direction of God that wants to go, that it fights against him. But notice what it also says, there met him two possessed with devils. Now, if you look at the book of Mark and look at the book of Luke, you'll find out that it only speaks of one. And most likely because they talk of the one that is in leadership. And typically there's a leader and a follower. Amen. Typically there's a leader and a follower. And so in Mark and also in Luke, they typically only talk about the one. But here we have them talking about the two. Now, don't go out and study that doctrine right now. We're going to stay right here. But I'm just giving that so you'll understand as we go through. Now, I noticed there wasn't only an enemy in the direction of God, but then there was an enemy in the direction of man. The Bible says that they were possessed. They were possessed. Now, these are two lost men, not two saved men. A saved man cannot be possessed with the devil. He can be oppressed. And a lot of people are depressed. Well, by the way, we ought not to be depressed. Amen. We have a lot of oppression, but we should not ever, and we will not ever, a saved person cannot ever be possessed. Amen. Because we already have somebody possessed. And the only way you can take over a man's house is you got to be a stronger man. And so the only way the devil can possess a saved person is he had to go inside and move out the Holy Spirit. And that ain't going to happen. Right. Amen. Open up the back door. Amen. I'm glad we got somebody bigger on the inside than on the outside. Greater he's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And so we have a strong man inside of us that cannot be overcome. But here it's talking about two lost men. And the lost men, their direction in life, their latitude in life, has been hampered and controlled by evil. Amen. So number one, evil is the enemy of latitude. If you're going to move in a positive direction, evil is going to fight against you moving in a positive direction. Amen. Someone says, no problem swimming down river. Amen. But the current's always fighting, trying to go up river. Amen. And so that's the first thing. You say, oh, preacher, I know that. I know you do. Look at one with me in verse number 28. The Bible says, it says they come out of the tombs. Now, not only were they possessed, but we see that evil is the enemy of life. Evil is the enemy of life. Jesus said, I come that they might have life. And I know I say this all the time, but it's a good verse to know. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But evil is the enemy of life. Amen. The devil does not want us to have a great life in Christ. Amen. And so we see that they departed, only the reason they left the tombs is they might be a hindrance in the latitude of God. Amen. That's the only reason they left. That's the only reason they come out of the tombs now, is to be a problem. Amen. That's the only time the enemy will show up. Sometimes that's the only time the enemy will show up at church, when the church wants to go forward. Amen. Amen. You got to be aware of that. I'm not completely ignorant. I've seen people show up for no other reason than to be a headache and a heartache and a problem. Amen. And I pray. I say, Lord, save those that come in. Lord, help those that come in. And Lord, those that's going to fight and never get right with God and going to try to break the church up, Lord, if it be your will, put a hedge about the church and let them go on.
Amen.
Amen. If they're not going to get saved, not going to get right, and they're going to try to fight and tear down and draw people out of church, I'd say, Lord, let them go on. Amen. Find the right person to be in the right church at the right time. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe that. You say, you believe, what do you believe? Do you believe that God, only God should add to the church? Amen. There you go. You got it. I believe only God should add to the church. I don't believe I can add to the church. And if I add to the church, it won't last very long. Amen. It'll subtract right away. So we see here tonight, there's an enemy, and that he's an evil, is the enemy of life. And they departed out of the tombs, but Mark gives us a little bit more. He says, Mark chapter 5, verse 3, who hath his dwelling among the tombs? Not only have they departed out of the tombs to be a hindrance, but they actually dwelt in the tombs. That's where he lived at. That's where they lived at. And so, you know, there's where he was living every day. In Mark chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And so, not only was he dwelling there, and he only departed there so he could be a hindrance, but he's also dissatisfied there. Evidently wasn't happy if he's in there crying all the time. Amen. And so he wasn't happy where he's there, dissatisfied living there. But evil is the enemy of life. If the devil could let everybody live in the tombs, it'd be all right with him till he buried them there.
Amen.
The devil wants you to get used to this world so he can bury you there.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? Get real used to the dark, and then when death slips up on you, it won't be that much of a change.
Right. Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? Won't be that much of a change.
Right.
I feel sorry for some folks out there, because they got so used to the darkness, I don't even think they know when death slips up on them.
Amen.
Amen. And so their evil is the enemy of life. Evil is the enemy of liberty. Look at verse number 28 also. Exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Mark gives us a little bit inside. He says this in Mark chapter 5, verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And so he refused to be tethered. The Bible says, he says also in Mark chapter 5, verse 4, he says, neither could any man tame him. Neither could any man tame him. And so he couldn't be tethered, he couldn't be tied down, and he couldn't be tamed. And I thought it was a very interesting word. I looked at the word tethered there, or the word bound there, excuse me. I looked at the word bound there, and of course it has the basic meaning of being tied. And it also means to have to go to a meeting. And I was shocked. To have to go to a meeting. That's how a lot of people go to church. Well, I got to go. Boy, I like the Bible when it lines up. Amen. Well, it's Miss Tracy's time to go to church. Amen. I'd be a miserable life if going to church was something you had to do. It'd be a miserable life if I had to go to church. I had to go to church when I was lost. Since I got saved, I get to.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad, listen, he was bound to, don't make me have to be at church a certain time. Don't make me have to be faithful. Don't make me have to study my Sunday school lesson. Don't make me have to study to preach. Don't make me have to practice the Sunday school. I don't want to be made. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. And what you're saying, really, whether you like it or not, is you feel like kind of, I don't know, I just get all bound up at church. I don't feel bound up at church. I feel free. I hate to say it like this. I hate to use this statement. But I kind of feel like I'm in my element at church. Amen? Amen. I feel like I'm in my element. Now, I don't feel like I'm in my element at work. I work my job because I need to eat. Amen. Amen. I know I eat good. But you know what I'm saying? Listen, that's not my element. When they start talking dirty and I go away from that. When they start wanting to cuss, I go away from that. I'm not in my element. But I feel like at church, I'm in my element. Now, a lost man don't feel like he's in his element at church. Or if he does, something's wrong with the church.
Amen.
God forbid that a lost man sit in the house of God and not have any conviction about him.
Right.
God forbid that a backslid person can sit in church, and what I said just a few minutes ago, if you're backslid on God, and you say, well, I have to, and that bothers you that I said that, good. Because that's exactly what it should do. And if it don't bother you, and you're not faithful, something's wrong.
Amen.
Something's wrong. You know, that's just a fact. And so evil is the enemy of liberty. Because what it did, it bound him there, and he didn't want to be bound, and they tried to tame him. And a lot of people get religion and want to tame themselves, and that don't work long, because sooner or later they want to go back and go and do what they want to do anyway. So that don't work. And then notice what it says here, and look with me. He said, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Now, not only was he not able to be tamed, and not only would be tethered, but he also was not tolerant. Does that sound like a tolerant person to you? Can I pull this cab over a little bit and talk? Isn't it amazing how the world always wants us to be tolerant with them, but they are not tolerant with us?
Amen.
Amen. You know what the problem is? They don't want us to be tolerant. They want us to agree with them.
Amen.
They want us to tell us, okay, it's all right. But as soon as you stand up and say, but the Bible, oh no, you can't say that around here.
Go ahead.
Well, why can't everything you just quoted was out of some kind of thing you believe in?
Amen.
I told my wife, I said, the missionary is here this morning. He's going to Darwin, Australia. You know Darwin, Australia is named after Charles Darwin, don't you? The father of evolution. I hope he turns the world upside down over there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Well, not to say amen to every little thing out in the world. It ought not be all right. They ought to see that look in our eyes. They ought to hear something from us. Something about us ought to stand out and say, that's not right. They ought to feel uncomfortable about cussing. Somebody cuss around and you tell a dirty joke and it don't bother them that they did it. You're not living it in front of them.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? You're not living it in front of them.
Yes, sir.
We need to do it. Boy, they start that stuff at work, I look at them. A lot of times I don't have to say nothing. I will. I told one fellow, he's a Jew. He cuss. Take the Lord's name in vain. Tried everything I could. Wouldn't logic. Wouldn't do nothing like that. Wouldn't take nothing to the Bible. Didn't believe the Bible anyway. So I just wrote a piece of paper. Wrote something on a piece of paper, walked over one day, and just put it on his desk and walked away. And he looked at the piece of paper. He looked up at me, looked at the piece of paper, looked back up. He said, all right, I got it. You know what I said on that piece of paper? I said, profanity is a sign of a feeble mind trying to express itself. And he prided himself on how smart he was. And I just, well, that's the way you want to feel about it. I'm just going to use what you logic about you. I'm going to use it against you. Here's the amazing thing about it. When I went to get another job at work one time, I found out this. The supervisor was there. And he went to the supervisor and told him this. Said, now, listen. Terry, he said, now, listen. He said, you can hire Terry, but don't you be cussing in front of him. He said, he'll tell you about it.
Amen.
Well, to make people uncomfortable about what they're doing. You say, preacher, what it was? He was intolerant. Evil is intolerant of liberty. Not only do they not want to be bound, but they also don't want you to have liberty to be where they are. Read it with me again.
Amen.
Exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass that way. He said, I'm not happy, and I don't want nobody else to be happy here.
Amen.
Evil is the enemy of liberty. Evil is the enemy of the Lord. Look at verse number 29. And behold, they cried out. They accosted our Lord. What have we to do with thee? They said, we don't have any accord with thee. We don't have anything about you. They made accolades to him. Jesus, thou Son of God. They spoke a good word, but they, look who's speaking. Somebody said, it don't matter how I live. It does matter how you live. If you want to testify about the Lord, if you want to say you're saved, it does matter how you live. If it didn't matter, he wouldn't say, come out from among you and be you separate, saith the Lord.
Amen.
He wouldn't have said that if he didn't mean it. Y'all with me tonight?
Right.
I said just some basic learning on evil. We need to understand what evil is, and it is an enemy of our Lord. It accosted our Lord. It had no accord with our Lord. It made false accolades against our Lord. Then it accused the Lord. Notice what he said. Art thou come hither to torment us? That ain't why he came. But are you here to torment us? That's an accusation, Brother Ty. Brother Tony, they were accusing the Lord of having a spirit of judgment on him, and he wasn't there to be a judge at that time. And then Noah does what they said. They give an account, they said, before the time. They begin to test whether or not God knew about himself. You know what I'm saying? The devil began to question whether God knew what time it was. I want that to set in real good. I want you to get good and mad about that. The God before time, in time, outside of time, always on time, knows what time it is. He always bothers me when everybody says, well, God didn't do what I thought he was going to do. He's on time. He ain't missed a lick. He ain't missed a thing. He's done everything perfect. You're accusing him of not knowing what's going on and how to handle things.
Amen.
That I get a little upset about. That I get a little upset about when somebody starts accusing my Lord, who planned Calvary before this earth ball and mud ball was ever formed.
Amen.
He got it all organized. I got it all right at the right time.
Amen.
How dare they say, the one that said on the cross 6 hours stopped it when he wanted to. It is finished. And they were shocked that he was dead as soon as he was.
Amen.
They couldn't believe. Pilate could not believe that Jesus was already dead. They'd come around to break their legs because by breaking their legs they lost their grip and they'd fall down and that they literally suffocate. But when they come around to get Jesus, couldn't break his bones because he's already dead. And Pilate was shocked that way, and had to ask somebody to go and see to make it true. Jesus did not die of the cross. He died on the cross.
Amen.
Y'all get that? No man taketh my life from me. What he said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. Y'all get what I'm saying tonight? I'm saying evil accosted our Savior. You get this thing real clear. Every time evil comes in, every time evil's around, everything not right, I want you to get it real set on your life that is against our Lord.
Amen.
You think about what he did on Calvary's cross, what he shed, what he gave, what he did for us, how much he loved that night you got saved, that day, that afternoon he searched you out, how good he has preserved his word, and every time you sin, it lets you rile up and get a little holy indignation. You'd say, no, that's not right. We need to have a little bit of that. We need to just have a little bit of that. It says, no, that is wrong.
Amen.
You don't mind me preaching this tonight?
Amen.
Look at this. Not only do we see evil as the enemy of the Lord, the enemy is evil. Evil is the enemy of all that is lawful. Look with me at verse number 30. And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. There's a distance out there. And there's many swine feeding. I believe it's Mark or Luke tells us there's about 2,000. I believe that's right. Is that right? About 2,000. I believe that's right. 2,000. Many swine. That's a pile of pigs.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible said they saw him there. Look at verse number 31. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. Do you realize that the devil answered a prayer, that God answered the prayer of a devil? And you say, you don't think he can answer your prayers? Huh? He answered the prayer of the devil. Suffer us to go into that herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. Now, I don't know why devils desire to be in a body other than they don't have one. And they want to be in one. I don't know. I don't know why they want to be wrapped in flesh, but they do. Look at verse 32. And when they came out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. There was a drowning. The devils moved in them. Ain't amazing. All those devils can live in a man, and he goes out and lives in the tombs and screams and hollers, cuts himself. But they get in a bunch of swine, first thing they try to do is try to get them out of them. So what they do, they run down there and drown themselves. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Now, I want you to look at some things that I found out about this. I've always wondered about this passage. I found out a little history about this thing. And I'll give you one that's just right out of Levitical law. The Jews could not eat pig's meat. It was absolutely forbid. They could not eat swine's meat. So why, in the land of the Israelites, which surrounded the Gadarites, why is somebody raising pigs? You ever thunk on it? Somebody's raising pigs. Now, we ain't supposed to eat pigs. Why are we raising pigs for? And somebody said, well, probably they could sell it to the Gentiles. Make some money, you know, take our sin that we can't do and give it to somebody else. Right? That's okay. And that could be so. But did you know in the time of the Maccabees who fought for Israel to have freedom, do you know during that time that they took a swine? According to Daniel's writings, you'll find out that they come in and they killed that swine and put the blood of that swine on the altar in Jerusalem. Did you know that? And by doing that, they made that altar unclean and unfit for service anymore. Do you know that the Jewish leaders of that day, after that day, made it so, they made a municipal law, not written in the scriptures, but a municipal law that no man was to not only eat pigs according to the scripture, but that he was not even to raise pigs. Now I'll ask you a question. Why were there pigs? Somebody's got something they shouldn't ought to have. And you know what the devil is? He's an enemy to the lawful. And so while he had that old, when he had those two men there all possessed, it was just fine. But he wanted some flesh. And he looked over there and said, hey, there's some swine over there. Can we go in them? And God, being all-knowing and all-righteous and all-holy, says, you know what? I think I can kill two birds with one stone right here. I'm going to kill two birds with one stone right here. I'm going to get the devils out of this man, these two men, and I'm going to send them to them pigs, and then I'm going to get the devils out of them pigs and get the pigs out of the land. I have never seen that before. You better be careful about messing with God. You better be careful about messing with God. He's a very wise God. He knew what happened. He knew them pigs would never take them. 2,000 pigs run down a cliff, got rid of the devils and the pigs in one swipe. Pretty good there, isn't it? What a great God we have. But the devil's the enemy of all the lawful. But if you're lawless, he'll let the pigs just stay. He'll let the pigs just stay. Now, you got your Bible still open. Look at with me, verse 33 and 34, and I'm done. In verse number 33, it says, and they that kept them fled. Now, these were the shepherds, if you will. These were the swine keepers. That's what it says. And they that kept them fled. Now, when they fled, they didn't just flee. The Bible says, and they went their way into the city and told everything. Well, they told everything. They gave a story, didn't they? And the Bible says, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Now, notice that word. And what was befallen. Oh, that poor two poor guys out there. Oh, it was awful. They come up there snarling and hollering at this man. And all of a sudden, he took all the devils right out of them. It was awful. What was befalling them? Boy, I tell you one thing, I sure do feel sorry for Preacher Terry. Has to go and preach three times a week. His wife and daughter underneath his thumb, they have to dress right. Why, sometimes he even goes, he don't buy him a boat and go and relax. He goes and they go buy dresses Sometimes they ride distances to find a good dress that is modest. Poor old fella. Why, do you know that he gets up and goes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sometimes visitation, sometimes goes to revival and camp meetings? Why, he's about to kill himself. Have you seen what has befallen him? Anybody get what I'm saying? Poor old fellas, living such an awful life. Gloom. Despair. An agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. That's what the world thinks. But they don't know. They don't know how good God is. They don't know how it is, how good it is to be able to get up in the morning and know the Lord's on your side. They don't know how it is to get up and know you're going to heaven. And it's just a short time until he comes. Oh, that devil's and evil is the enemy. Here's the problem that I want to get to tonight, and I am done. Look at verse 34, and this is it. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Not like when the woman at the well told that city of Samaria. Not like when she did. Remember, she said, oh, come see a man. Oh, you know, well, all the world, all the city went out to meet him. And the Bible said they believed on him. That's not the case here, Brother Freeman. The Bible says they all went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. And I'm done. What a shame. Here's what I have come to believe. Evil is an enemy to latitude and life and liberty and lordship of Christ and lawfulness. But enemy has allies. Oh, yeah. The old evil has some allies, Brother Freeman. Somebody's helping him. I wrote down a few. Evil thrives in America because it finds allies. Christians that won't take a stand. Churches that don't have a cause. Pastors who won't preach against sin. And parents who cannot say no. Is an advocate, an ally, is somebody that, you know, it's okay if Jesus kind of visits, but Tracy, we don't want him to stay because, see, that gets rid of the pigs. And we like the pigs. We're willing to put up with a little bit of evil as long as we can have our pigs. But man, Jesus, when you got rid of the pigs, well, you got to go. Everybody loves Jesus till he gets rid of the pigs. When he starts getting those things in our life that we know we ought not have there to start with, when he starts killing two birds with one stone, oh, people begin to get upset. And you will find out who's on the Lord's side, and you will find out who's on the evil side. If what the preacher preaches, and if it's the Word of God, and it makes you mad that you can go out and gossip about it and talk about it, listen to this. You're not against this preacher. You're against him. You're against this book. You're against separation. You're against sanctification. You're against salvation. Oh, no, preacher, I ain't against salvation. Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's easily grieved. One of us could sit in church, have the wrong thought, say the wrong word, and grieve the Holy Spirit. Someone said there's 19 visitors here this morning. 19 visitors. What if we grieve the Holy Spirit a little bit this morning? What if somebody was just on the edge of getting some devils out of life and we worried about pigs? What if we was worried about pigs? You know what I wrote down? Here's what I wrote down. If God will let our pigs perish, would we ask him to stay? Or would we ask him to leave? If he'd get that junk out of our life that we have no right having, if he would convict us of it and get it out of our life, would it be okay with us for him just to go ahead and stay on? Would it be okay? Let's all stand tonight. You want one of the pianists to come play? Natalie, I guess you can come play if you will. Let me be very clear tonight. Evil is the enemy. You cannot make friends with him. You can't keep pigs around. You understand? You can't keep them spiritual pigs around. Because all they'll do is begin to excuse other reasons. In other words, you'll start putting up with a few crazy men, a few possessed men. Once you let pigs in, you kind of get used to everything else, Brother Ty. Once those pigs in are in our life, and we start petting those pigs and raising those pigs, it ain't too long till we kind of start putting up with the evil too. He said, "Well, we tried. We put him through that 7-step phase, that program. We got a good program to get him all right." Well, they've tried that, didn't they? They tried tying him up. They tried taming him. And then finally, they lost the right to even go down where they buried their folk at. They couldn't even go down to the cemetery, put